The Pet Shop Boys and West End Girls. It's The Brew. And it's my absolute pleasure to welcome back and say Happy New Year to Morris Misolowski, who has to hibernate now and again. How are you?
Yeah, good. And it's great to be back. Happy Tuesday and Happy New Year, everyone.
You too. I like the way you've organised your life. Just before Christmas, he said, I'm taking a few weeks off. Need a break. See you later.
See you later.
What's been going on, Morris? Did you have a good time?
I did. You know, it's, I mean, everyone says this, but it's the first time I can remember forever that I've actually taken a month off.
Yeah, properly, right?
Just literally taken a month off. Yeah. No emails, no looking at anything or anything. It was wonderful, truly wonderful.
Well, what do you think no email, bearing in mind you are a tech head, what do you think that no emails, etc., actually did for your brain?
Truly, I think it was wonderful. It was a no distraction holiday. I'm pretty good with my emails anyway.
Yeah.
I'm fairly anal. So I do my emails in the morning. You know, I'm good at managing them. I don't get overexcited by them. My outbox, inbox are always clear. So that's not the issue. But I knew, see, Australia's kind of good for this. In the time I took off, the end of December, early January, no one does anything. It's Australia. It's beach time. It's holiday time.
I love that. Really, nothing. It's like no messing around.
Nothing serious is going to happen, Phil. Nothing. I mean, you know, the world could explode, you know, God forbid, and Australians would just kick onto the beach and still have a good time. So, really, I knew nothing was going to happen anyway. And it was wonderful. It truly was. The only time we used internet, which was pretty much all the time every day, was to look at Google Maps and find stuff about where we wanted to eat and go and do. And otherwise, we really had very little to do with it.
Fair enough. Well, what do you think you've come back with? What's your New Year takeaway? I mean, are you powered up and ready to rock and roll? Or what's your attitude now?
No.
It's really good.
I'm trying to get back into it. Well, this is my first week back. Yesterday was my first day back. I'm trying to get back into it, and I will. I'm already feeling energised and excited by it. But I quite enjoyed having that much consecutive time off. It was a novelty. And I think maybe everyone says it when they come back, so we'll see. But no, it was all good. It was, and the trip was wonderful. Things we saw were terrific. And it was really a very, very good month off.
It's quite interesting that you've been sort of living proof of a thing, if you like, that exists in this day and age, actually stepping away from social media and internet and emails and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sure there are some medical implications in this too. Good ones.
Yeah, good ones. Blood pressure went down, all that kind of stuff. It sounds fairy tale, but the office computer was off for an entire month. It's never had that month.
Psychologically, that's great, right?
Normally, I leave it on so I can dial in case I need something. It wasn't. It was completely off. I carried a laptop with me that we only used for Netflix and movies occasionally, and otherwise it never went on.
Yeah.
And it just pretty much was that. And that was because there was lots of great stuff to do, and we really didn't need to be distracted by it. And as I said, truly, the time of year played a great part into it, that I knew nothing was going to happen. We were talking to the kids regularly. The family stuff was all under control. Everybody was where they were supposed to be doing great stuff.
You're a futurist. Of course you knew.
Yeah, and otherwise, you know, the world just goes on. I learned that a long, long time ago, and the world will go on regardless, and it did. So I recommend totally, even if you can't do the entire month, which I know is really difficult, even that detox that people talk about, you know, the occasional, just deliberately, as difficult as it is, turn off the email, turn off the computer, just walk away, even if it's for an hour or a day or whatever. Just give yourself the luxury of that 1 hour if you can't give yourself the luxury of anything else.
You know what that overtures as a topic, maybe not for today, the future of working smart, the future of, you know, Sturm und Drang, if you like. You have to pull back. You have to give some to get some, or get some to give some.
It is. And what we've talked about a lot over the years, but there seems to be a shift, there really does, a generational shift. Better or worse, we can argue, and we shall, I know, over time. But the generational shift away from my predecessors, my parents, grandparents, who worked to live. And what we're finding now is many people are now structuring living to work. Of course, we need to work, we need to pay bills, all of us have pressures, we understand that.
Sure.
That needs to be done. But it's the emphasis you put on it. Truly older generations, previous generations, not better or worse, but just by the structure of society, culture, norms, all those types of things, there was a heavy, heavy emphasis on working. Relaxation was almost seen as a negative. Holidays was something that you had got as a favour for working hard, and you really didn't feel that you could spend those being frivolous or other things. And now that's changed very much. You find that really it's life is the first, you know, what do I want to get from my life? What do I want to have? What do I want to do? And then what are the sorts of things I'm willing to give up or give in order to get that? And what I'm finding, especially with a lot of the new that's not true, you know, 20, 30-year-olds who are in their career or moving along in their careers, they're now making decisions based on those things, really about where they want their life to be, how much internet access they want or not. Those types of things are really becoming more and more important. And I know that's a first world possibility. I understand that. It's not something that a lot of people can allow themselves to have, but it's increasingly becoming the norm.
You know, mental health, those two words, been very prevalent in the past 10 years, not something we necessarily would have heard before, but now it's massive. Do you reckon in the future people will suffer more stress from their virtual work than their reality?
That may be a strong possibility. But the one thing I'm kind of confident about, I'm hoping we won't turn the corner on this in a negative way, is that we can now have this conversation, because Phil, you and I could have had it, but it wasn't something really that was palatable for on air even 5 years ago, talking about mental health. It was a big secret, a dark secret.
On the surface, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was something that you really didn't talk about. You would never mention it to your best mate or to your boss or to any of your co-workers, because that was the end of you. Yeah. And thankfully now we can. So I'm sensing, of course, that what we have now is a lot of this digital stuff. We've talked about it before. The reality is, as I said to someone this morning in a briefing conversation, when they made the comment, they said to me, which is a mistake to start with, that we were now working less, and that was a conversation about AI, how we were going to work less, how we're going to have more holidays, how we'd have more time off. And I came back with, well, nothing could be further from the truth. Since computers have come on, since technologies we understand have come on, nobody has four-day weekends. Nobody's lying on a beach with a margarita all day. In fact, if you count up the minutes that we work, we're actually working more now than we ever did before the PC.
Yeah.
And that's because we no longer work in days, which is how we measured our work. We now work in seconds. I'll just check the email. I'll just go type this. I'll just go look for that. And the seconds add up. They add up over a week and a month and a year.
You don't even have to go anywhere. I mean, mobile. I think, you know, treated properly, working on the go is fantastic. But perhaps if people become obsessed with it, then not so fantastic.
And that's to your point about digital, you know, working digitally and working a different lifestyle. You really need to be conscious. You need to be certain that you can actually trap those moments, not allow them in more than they have to be, because it's all too easy when that little machine in your pocket beeps for you to just pull it out and just take a second and just do this and just do that. Yeah, and that's how people justify just. And you've got to make sure you're on top of it as much as possible. So, yes, mental health is a real issue, because for a great number of people, because they allow those seconds to happen in their life, they feel they're constantly on, constantly under pressure, constantly having to achieve or answer or do or be responsible for. And that's not a healthy place to be.
Well, before Christmas, you went on a flurry of work. You were writing loads. You were publishing loads. Was that you sort of gathering your nuts for the winter sort of thing?
Yeah, I think it was. I've actually written nothing, published nothing. I've literally been off social media for that entire time. And I think that, well, I know that was quite joyous too.
I've only just started
to look in LinkedIn again this morning, I think, was about the first time I had a serious look at it and began to plan out what I would write for the next couple of weeks, where I would post it and those kinds of issues, you know, those kinds of strategical issues I need to work through. But otherwise, I haven't really looked at it.
You know, people are getting very hot and bothered about social media platforms right now. How many times recently, it's probably quite a lot, have you heard X referred to as things like cesspit, cesspool, all that kind of stuff? It's getting very, very dark, isn't it? And it's having the effects of stress on people.
I think it is, and we're seeing that TikTok happening in America, where it was banned for a day and then wasn't, and Trump's going to bring it back. All of those things, and Elon, of course, now has, well, we suppose he has more influence over what will
castle.
Be said and done about.
Yeah.
Well, it appears to be, doesn't it? I mean, it appears to be he certainly knows where the front doorbell is, at least, if he hasn't got the keys. And I think he's paid for the keys, something like $1 billion or something, somebody was saying that he paid towards the campaign. But anyway, regardless, he certainly came out with a very interesting speech this morning. That was Elon, not our friend Trump, where he, if he's not the king of the castle, he certainly thinks he is.
Do you think there's an element of the president fanboying as well? I mean, you can't step away from that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his mate is this latter-day Svengali, rich
Svengali. Yeah, absolutely is. Yeah, and for our friend Elon, as much as he would like to be, I don't know from a bar of soap, I'm making this stuff up, but as much as I suppose he would like to be, he can't be president. This is about as close as he can get. Can't be president because he wasn't born in America.
It's close enough. Well, it's interesting. So now you're back sort of hitting the ground running. What sort of things have you got up your sleeve? I mean, when did you start thinking about your plans for this year? And do you have any?
I think I do. I'm not. This is a real dichotomy because I spend my whole career doing strategic planning,
yeah,
talking about foresight, talking about future, really looking at it. But I also have this really strange belief that yes, all of those things are part of my life. I do structure. I do figure out where I want to go.
But I actually
enjoy serendipity.
Oh, go on.
I like the fact of being open, which is why for me it's actually not. You know, there's no dichotomy. There's no incongruence between the two. I know pretty much where I need to be, what I need to achieve, the figures I need to do, all those kinds of things to make this thing happen for me every year in my family. Mm. But I kind of then release that to the universe and allow it to happen because I know it will. So for me, for this year, I certainly want to do speaking as I've always done before and consulting, but I'm going to look for board. And if anyone is listening and would like a virtual board member, I'd like to go and do more advisory and board work.
Paying it forward, maybe.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much where I need to be for the next little while.
Well, good luck, Maurice. And just sort of sharing about it here is quite enlightening. So good on you. Did you have a chance during the hibernation period to check out the Consumer Electronics Gadgets show? Just for fun.
Do you know I didn't till this week.
Hey.
I purposely didn't because it's the first time in 15 years or so that I didn't cover it either, being there or watching it virtually and reporting on it in real time.
Yeah.
So I didn't, and I made the conscious choice not to.
It's just a bit of creep up, isn't it, really? You
know? Well, I had an itch. I occasionally had an itch, but I didn't scratch it. I promise you I didn't scratch it because I knew I didn't want to. But since I've been back, I've watched a number of, which is one of the reasons that I was happy actually to let it go. One of the things that happened in COVID, which didn't happen before, was that CES is the Consumer Electronics Show. It's the thing that happens at the beginning of January in Las Vegas, happens every
massive
year since the 60s.
Yeah.
The place where all of new technology, and that's a big all new technology goes to show itself off.
Yeah.
And most of the big companies are there. It's a big deal. But up until COVID, even though this was the big poobah event in the world, unless you physically went there, you had nothing. There was no virtual side of it.
Yeah.
In COVID, they put together a virtual side so you could actually, they live streamed and then recorded and allowed you to watch in delay if you wanted to. Also, a lot of the keynote events, they did tours of the booths, they did tours of a lot of the people that were there. So you could watch it virtually during and after the CES. And I knew that would be possible with my access to it.
You know, COVID was so disruptive and horrible, but it was a disruptor. It actually became a disruptor, which disruptors tend to have good outcomes, don't they?
It did, because the people from overseas like myself who went to CES, the one thing that we always wanted and we always told the organisers was, it's great if we can get here, but it's not possible. Can you give us any virtual opportunity?
Yeah.
You know, beam us in. The answer was always no, can't be done, which was hysterical because this is the consumer electronic technology.
Exactly.
If they can't do it, then who could do it? But they always claimed they couldn't. All of a sudden, COVID came along, and of course, they could do it because everyone else did. Anyway, the legacy for me for that and a lot of overseas media reporters is that we can now see it and watch it remotely and don't have to go. So I've in the last 2 days or so,
yeah,
I've definitely caught up on a lot of the keynotes, watched a lot of them, walked around the virtual floor and seen what was there.
And what do you reckon?
Much the same.
Yeah.
So it seems to be much of the same. There was, of course, and no surprise anyone could make the next comment. The big thing there was, of course, the big initials AI.
Yeah.
Everything seemed to have AI that I could possibly watch or see so far, but that's to be expected. One of the new topics that we'll talk about over the next while, and that's because it will become more and more of a hot topic, is this thing called quantum computers.
Yes.
Which we're talking about now as being one of the big trends for 2030. So we'll leave that for a little minute.
I mean, can we yet describe that in one sentence?
No.
Right.
To me, it's quite simple. If you're a fan of Willy Wonka, as I am, when he went into the elevator and there were lots of buttons and he said he took buttons and it went in all directions and there was one left, that's what quantum computing is, because it can do everything in all directions.
Very good.
It literally does all of that computer thinking and power. It's quite extraordinary, difficult to talk about, difficult to explain. It's like the human brain in many ways, but not.
Is AI the sort of single-celled animal compared to what this is? or something.
AI will be the brain that allows quantum computing to make sense.
Humans
at this stage just can't keep up with that thinking, just can't, you know, get around corners that fast and do what it needs to do.
Yeah.
So what we believe is that AI will actually be the way that we can communicate and usefully get these quantum computers to work. Having said that, no one has built a quantum computer yet.
Yeah.
We talked late last year about a couple of companies have them in prototype. NVIDIA is one of them. So there are prototypes, but there's no working everyday 24-hour-a-day computer yet, but we believe that we're close to it. So that was one of the big topics.
Hey, Mo, as you think about it, though, I mean, we are, just a reminder, we're talking about the Consumer Electronics Show, CES. That means food mixers that we're used to.
Yeah, and, well, it still did. There were still a lot of them. One of the big things there were robots everywhere. There were robot vacuum cleaners. One of the ones that got a lot of press was called Roborock.
Oh, yeah.
It was a vacuum cleaner, the ones that run around the floor and do that kind of stuff. But it had an arm, and the arm came out. If you left your socks on the floor or something, it would actually take the arm out of its base and would pick up the socks and put them in the basket for you and then continue to clean around it. That got a whole lot of really good conversations around it. Lots of new TVs, lots of new microwaves. Wearable glasses was the big trend this year, but not the dorky geeky ones. That look like them. They're not, although one of them was a Ray-Ban. They're very modern looking, ordinary looking glasses that have all kinds of technology inside of them, allows you to hear things, see things, take pictures of things, do that. There was a lot of those around.
Yeah.
Cars, which have been a section for CES for the last 6-7 years, took a really big turn this year, as it always does. Honda and Sony have announced a car that is coming to market later this year that, through my screen, looks incredible, and again got a whole lot of really good reviews around it.
Mm-hmm.
They described it as being a cross between a Lamborghini and Aston and a Lagonda. And it looks like it. It's a very sexy looking beast. That apparently is going on sale at the end of this year, or pre-release the end of this year, for later this year or next year.
Yeah. All right, Morris. Well, it's lovely to chat to you again, and I'm looking forward to doing it a lot more throughout the year. Talk soon and get cracking. Have you got some? I suppose it's not worth looking at your blog just yet, is it?
Oh, you could always go into the history, businessfuturist.com. Decide for yourself if something there you
want to. Nice one, Morris. Well done, mate. I'll catch you next week right here on The Brew. That's Morris Misolowski, live from St Kilda in Aussie. Let's have a look at the weather forecast.